This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. Let's start 2026 with a hard truth. There's no perfect time to build the future you secretly dream of, and there's no time to waste. With support from a Talkspace therapist, you can make this the year you bravely go out and grab what you need from life, whether that's outer rewards or inner peace. Just go to Talkspace.com to be matched with a licensed online therapist. You can start messaging with your therapist right away and schedule live virtual sessions over video, audio, or chat. Your Talkspace therapist can help you create personalized strategies for making the changes and achieving the goals most important to you. Talkspace accepts most insurance with an average copay of $15, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80. That's SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQBar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Good morning, Steph and Cass.
Good morning.
excited to welcome you both back to another episode of Bariatric Banter Podcast.
Cass is back.
This is our two-part GLP-1 special. We told you we were bringing a guest on for this, someone who's been on it before bariatric surgery, who can answer some of those questions that we had about it. But this is episode, remember, 30-something.
Almost 40.
37, 30-something. Podcast is now almost my age. But welcome back to part two of our GLP-1 deep dive. And like you heard at the very beginning, we are so excited to be joined by the one and only Cass again. So for those who don't follow her, find her, Bypass Cass, on TikTok. She's on Instagram. She has a great little community she's building as well, which like you should definitely talk about on here. But she shares all of her bariatric journey on social. There's great recipes. There's clothing that she buys, that she thrifts. There's recipes. There's just like day-to-day life struggles, highs, lows. She's been a great source for Steph and I of just like support, inspiration. And we're excited that she's going to come on and talk about GLP-1s with us. So welcome.
Thank you. Wow. Yeah. It's one of those things that the GLP section of my life gets like overshadowed by the bariatric portion of my life, right? And so I don't actually talk about it that often with people, other than when people ask what was your timeline of your bariatric surgery. I do like to preface to people, I did try the GLP route before having bariatric surgery. So and I've had people in my life since who talked to me about, do I do bariatric surgery or try GLP-1s? And yeah, it's crazy the amount of success we are seeing people have on GLP-1s. I'll be sharing a little bit differently for me, but there is a crazy amount of success that's to be had with it. So, yeah.
Awesome. Well, we released our first episode, and Steph and I just kind of went what we knew about it. And we prefaced, listen, we're not experts. We are both not on it yet. And we had some things.
We got some feedback.
I would say there were one, maybe two people that maybe weren't thrilled that we were talking about GLP-1s. Not that they were against it. They thought that we were not in support
just
of it.
Just say it. They thought we were, what did they, now I can't remember
snotty.
The word that they used.
Thought we were snotty. A bit snotty.
Snotty.
About GLP-1s. And that was not our intention because, and again, no. It's Steph and I, if you listen to this podcast, you know, we're going to debate things and we have strong opinions on things, but we always say we're not experts and we're going to go find people who can be experts. And that's why we brought you on. But we just talked about the rise of them. We are not against them. We have both stood on that.
No judgment.
We love that you use them. We are not against them. Some of our concerns were people getting them without having support systems. That's not everyone. We weren't saying everyone, but there is a growing amount of people that we know in Canada who've been able to get things without needing blood work or needing a dietitian or even having like a doctor. They do a virtual
clear
doctor.
Next steps.
Yeah. And we love telehealth. Telehealth has been an incredible innovation.
Oh my God. I have used them.
Somebody got mad at me for this.
Me too.
Virtual doctors. I think virtual doctors are incredible.
Yeah.
What I was saying was seeing one for 15 minutes to get Ozempic and then not having a support system after was concerning to me. I didn't say it was bad. It's I think this is one of those things where to be successful,
you need more.
You need to have a team.
Obesity is a disease. You need a specialist to help you walk through it. So when you're doing telehealth and, you know, they're maybe not checking in with you the way you would with any other specialist where you've got like parameters. If there's no parameters, where's the bar, right? I think that's where you guys were kind of leaning into. It's just, it's a cautionary tale. That's what it is. It's some people have done this shit on their own and they've done a really great job without that support, just going through telehealth.
Yes.
And then it's a cautionary tale of what does this look like without it though? Because you've gone through a virtual doctor, which was also my case too, where it was like, we're upping your dosage. It was all phone calls when I was on mine. So I could, and here's the part of that too. I could say whatever I want to that person on the phone.
Yeah. And we've said that about the bariatric world too, right? Like all of our follow-ups are on the phone. And when they say, what's your current weight? I can make up whatever damn number I want. I could be 125 pounds if I wanted to. Like I don't see them in person either. And I think that's concerning. And that's the that's my world. That's the bariatric world is I think that's ridiculous. You see me for surgery and then none of my follow-ups are in person. I haven't talked to them in months.
And
we've talked about support.
Well, you should be honest. Yeah, but we're obese individuals. And I'm not trying to say all obese people do this, but we're very good with hiding things and downplaying
things.
We're good
at lying. We're good at lying. Let's be honest. We're good at lying.
Because we lie to ourselves specifically.
We lie to everyone around us. So it's really easy to stand on that scale and go, oh, 186? Yeah, I'm 180, guys. Like, you know, whatever. I'm just going to shave a few pounds off.
I don't want them to be disappointed in me. I don't want them to feel like I'm failing, right? So it's the same. It's the same thing, right? So we're not saying it's GLP-1 specific that we don't necessarily think these virtual appointments are the best route. I've used telehealth. I used
telehealth.
Personal story here, TMI. Sorry, Mom. I used telehealth to get on birth control. I hadn't been on birth control for years, like since before I was married. And then we were going away to Mexico for our anniversary. And I was supposed to get my period right in the middle, right for our trip. And I was like, screw that. No freaking way. I used telehealth to get birth control and was shocked at how she literally prescribed me 3 months worth of birth control in 2 minutes. I was okay, cool.
I used the online virtual
booker
for a UTI recently. Like you can do a virtual thing through Shoppers Drug Mart. And I was like, I think I have a UTI. And like, I put some shit in the computer. I took a picture of a test.
Here you go.
And they were like, you can come pick up your prescription. You're going to meet someone for Shoppers. And I was like, this is
So we're not saying this is GLP-1 specific, guys. Like we're not trying to gang up on GLP-1s. We're saying in general, in healthcare as a whole, you need support. You need follow-ups. You need guidance. You need direction, especially when it comes to medicines and things that are altering your body. We just think it's important that you have somebody making sure you're okay and making sure you're on the right track, right?
And
that's what it comes down to.
What to look for. The side effects. What will this, like, that you can ask questions to. How much weight am I going to lose? And what am I going to feel like in my first week? And like,
am I going to shit my pants?
I was given a run through of like, these are some like top side effects. All right, we're good. Like, it was very minimal, right? And I'll get into a bit deeper that gallbladder ended up being an issue while I was on it. So, and I didn't know that that was connected. I had no clue for at least 4 of my visits to the ER that that was even connected. And I couldn't, the ER didn't connect it either, which is crazy. Wow. So this might help someone too, who's experiencing, I'll describe what it's like, but like, they wouldn't even know what that looks like when you're having gallbladder attacks. So, and it is connected with rapid weight loss. So, yeah.
And that's the thing. Like a lot of, sure, comes on from GLP-1, but is actually a result of your rapid weight loss, which happened to us too. Like there's a lot of people have their gallbladders removed after bariatric surgery. Yeah. It happens. A lot of common side effects. You can get kidney stones after bariatric surgery. You can have issues.
Acid reflux.
Yeah. You can have blood sugar issues. You can have blood pressure issues. Like a lot of it is the rapid weight loss. So sometimes I do think it's a bit unfairly lumped onto GLP-1s. Like, well, GLP-1s cause this. Well, it exacerbated that, but it was rapid weight loss that caused it. So sometimes because I do know, and I hope we never contributed to this, there is a lot of fear around starting these. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of it is like, what's going to happen to me? And we'll get into like long-term versus short-term in a few minutes. But I think also it's things like this, right? Oh, I've heard everybody that's on it has their gallbladder removed. Well, majority of people that had bariatric surgery also fucking have their gallbladder removed. Super normal. Yeah. The biggest common thing is what Steph said. Majority of people that have bypass end up having revisions for acid reflux.
Acid reflux.
Surgery. So like it exists in our community, guys. There's lots that people.
It's not GLP-1 specific.
No. So don't let that.
It's like weight loss.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I wonder, Cass, if you had bariatric surgery first versus like, would you have encountered the gallbladder stuff too, right? Because it happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. You don't know.
Yeah. It's all about like I find mine happened a little backwards because I had my gallbladder out prior to surgery. So yeah, my story is a little bit backwards compared to most people's. Do you want me to kind of run through starting my GLP journey, how that worked?
Give your history.
Okay. So when I had a friend who had had bariatric surgery and I was really tempted to go that route. But at that time, my doctor had referred me to an obesity clinic, and that obesity clinic gave me all my options with bariatric surgery on the table. Right. But obviously GLP-1s were right there with it and said, do we want to kind of give this another kick of the can and try the GLP-1s? I do find it a little shocking to me, though, that this was through an obesity clinic who had a lot of support resources, and I had those with my bariatric surgery route through them. However, I will say I did not feel I had that when I was on the GLP-1. Mm-hmm. So, and I'll explain that a bit more. But I've taken 3 different types.
Okay.
Because I stalled on all of them.
Okay. Oh, geez.
So I can share the types, right? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, we won't. Like on social, we can't share the name, but in the podcast,
we can. Okay, we can. Okay, so I did Contrave, which is a pill. I did Saxenda, which is an injection daily. Ew. And then that one was not great. And then Ozempic was once a week.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right?
Wait, daily sucks.
So, yeah, daily would not be a winner for old Hannah.
Yeah. Let's just knock Contrave right off the hop. Did nothing. Didn't feel anything with it to be just for my body.
Is it similar to metformin?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That did nothing for me either.
Me neither. I stopped taking it. Same family.
Nothing. Did
diarrhea,
nothing.
But did nothing else outside.
I know. I was like, okay, if I'm getting side effects and no actual what it's intended for, absolutely
hard pass.
Not.
Hard pass.
Saxenda, though, and Ozempic, I will say, were great. Again, my experience on them was when I would stall for an extended period is when my doctor, I don't know if this is protocol now or if they would just look at dosage changes, but I'm thinking I was at, this is a while ago, but I had kind of capped out at the dosages when they moved me over and were like, okay, we're going to put you on a different drug. I don't know if that's the right protocol, but I was a bit of a guinea pig in all using all of these different drugs. And I was just, now that I look back, I'm like, why was I so okay with that? But
again, you don't know any different at the time either, right? Like you trust that they're doing what they should be doing and that they know what they're doing.
Correct. I just wanted to feel better. I wanted to be able to have my mobility back. I wanted to be able to get off my CPAP. Like that's just like long term. I was just like,
Let's do it.
I want to get there. So I will say, essentially, I had every 2 months, they would just do a quick phone call. It was never longer than like 10 to 15 minutes of just if I'm experiencing side effects, how am I feeling? And Ozempic, well, that was the one I had the longest stint on. So we'll talk about Ozempic. I did overall lose 20 pounds. When I was on it. So I was very happy with that. People were starting to notice at that point that I'd lost weight and were pointing out like, hey, we're seeing a difference in you. Keep it going. And that felt so good at the time.
What dose were you on? Do you mind if we ask? Because people are curious about that too.
No, that was a while ago. So I actually don't remember. Okay.
If you don't remember, we can share on social. But that comes up too is people want to know like, dosage and you know what were you on
and the fact that it was your third
medication that you had tried that could have impacted
technically second because like we all get the pill, we all get the metformin pill at some point, or obesity
that's supposed to do something and does dickle
do anything. I'd say like the injectables are different.
Totally different wavelength. So yeah, no, it was, I can't recall. I could actually just go back into probably my medical history though and let you guys know.
Okay.
But yeah, I was on it. I do know that it was every 2 weeks they had me increasing the dose.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know what that had to
fast.
It was fast. Yeah. It was fast. And I don't know if that had something to do with my weight at the time, because remember at that time I was 263 pounds. Like I was at my highest. I have no idea if that's a factor, like not a doctor.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. Let's start 2026 with a hard truth. There's no perfect time to build the future you secretly dream of. And there's no time to waste. With support from a Talkspace therapist, you can make this the year you bravely go out and grab what you need from life. Whether that's outer rewards or inner peace, just go to Talkspace.com to be matched with a licensed online therapist. You can start messaging with your therapist right away and schedule live virtual sessions over video, audio, or chat. Your Talkspace therapist can help you create personalized strategies for making the changes and achieving the goals most important to you. Talkspace accepts most insurance with an average copay of $15, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80. That's SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Here, but I just did what they told me to do. So I think that did have a factors into the side effects, which are, we all know, like diarrhea. Your girl had to be near a bathroom. And I do recall... even work at the time, knowing I need to be like in the office
near
the
bathroom. Right near the washroom.
This would have been pre-COVID, right? Yeah. This would have been like in an office days. Oh no,
in office days. Yeah. Oh god,
in office.
There goes Cass to the washroom again.
Definitely something going on with her because she's super regular. So yeah, it was different. But this ties into actually, and is super important that my diet did not change.
Which is a big thing.
In terms of supports, I was not seeing a dietitian. I was not seeing any kind of a therapist or mental health counselor at any time. And it wasn't actually offered to me at all when I got on these medications. I didn't. To me, when you're someone that's so new, you don't even know to ask for something like that.
I didn't know.
Yeah, I didn't know it would be available to me. I didn't know I could ask. And then everybody I know has that fear of, if I do ask, maybe I have to pay for it. And then if I pay for it, now I'm paying for this drug, I'm paying for this, like, you know. But look, in hindsight, if I would have had someone that at that time, like when I had bariatric surgery, said, what's your understanding of nutrition facts? Let's talk about, do you read them currently? And like, what does that mean to you? Like they did when I had bariatric surgery. We really deep dived into what was my understanding? What do I look at? What should I be looking at for my height and weight? We did not do that when I got on. So that was bariatric surgery. We did not do any of that when I got on Ozempic.
Which is, not to cut you off, you were at a weight loss clinic. You weren't.
I was with an obesity clinic.
Which is crazy.
Wow. Yes.
That's crazy.
It doesn't make sense, does it? It doesn't.
No.
It really doesn't.
No.
No.
And
no.
Yeah. I don't get why that, and I don't know if those resources are just funneled into their bariatric program. It's possible, but I just wish I was offered.
It should be standard. Like, it should just be the norm when obesity is the overarching area that this clinic focuses on. You think that would be a standard focus of any program that they're offering?
I really like was just
even if I
was
on
night and day. It was night and day. I'm going through the same clinic for my bariatric program and the Ozempic. And I'm like, why is it so different with how I'm being handled? I only noticed once they shipped me off to the bariatric side where I was like, this is so different.
Foundational things that are standard across the board when you're looking at it. Right?
It was
crazy.
So my eating habits didn't change beyond the fact that it was insane, the lack of hunger that I faced, the food noise that went away.
I've heard this.
So, it is a comparable to how you feel out of surgery, for me anyways. It was very comparable once the medication, I'd been taking it long enough to get the full effect. My portions, I actually started intentionally making smaller portions because I was wasting so much food. Because I'd make my usual. Here's the thing, too. We didn't talk about portion sizes. So I'd make my usual and I'd get a few bites in. And then this like disinterest just like hits you where you're like, I'm not interested in eating. I don't want to eat. I'm not hungry.
Wow.
I'm good. So that would happen. So I started reducing my meal sizes. And then, like I said, that 20 pounds slowly started to come off. And I really don't really attribute that to changing how I ate at all because I was not checking. I wasn't focusing on protein. There was no meal checking nutrition facts at that time. None of that was happening. However, I had greatly reduced my portions and 20 pounds with that came off. But I did experience nausea quite sporadically. I found it was mostly when the increase happened. I would usually have a day where I was more nauseous. And then it would go away. And I only had one day I can recall where I quite literally called into work because I woke up. I had like a sip of coffee or something. Instantly felt like I needed to throw up.
Ugh.
But it was one day out of a whole thing of like taking this medication and it never happened again. So,
and feeling nauseous when you increase a dosage makes sense with any medication, like as soon as you change it, right?
So that I was on antibiotics and I was like, the room is spinning and I feel like death.
Right.
Like that's common.
But yeah, like the disinterest in not eating anything. Like there's somebody I work with that started Mounjaro and I've been talking to them. And they were saying the same thing. They're like, we're talking about what they were eating and they were basically saying that, I just don't want to eat, like I'm not hungry, and they were so excited. And I was like, okay, I get that feeling of not thinking about food. For somebody who always thinks about food is phenomenal and so exciting and fantastic. But I said, that's also the thing that you have to be careful of is that you are still eating and that you are still getting protein and that you're not going all day not fueling your body because you're so excited by the fact that you don't want to eat, but then people don't eat. Right.
Yeah.
And that's where then we see other problems. And I think that's too where some of these side effects that we hear about come into play. It's not necessarily the GLP-1. It's the fact that people aren't fueling their bodies. They're not getting their vitamins. They're not getting their proper nutrition.
Vitamins.
Because they're not eating. Right.
Yeah. And and I agree with you. That's the thing is it's the other things that'll come up. And like there'll be people going, oh yeah, well, if you're not eating, I guess you'll be tired. For me, the bigger red flag that I'm signaling is you're not developing good eating habits. So you're not eating now because you don't feel like eating. And that's awesome.
Right.
Until that wears off and you start binging when you or you go back to eating a ton of stuff. Like this is like surgery in my mind, I would think. And Cass, like, tell me if I'm right here. You're going to have a period of time where you're not hungry. And that's your period to make new choices that you hopefully stick with because eventually this medication tapers off in your system and you'll go back to wanting to eat all the time. But if you took that grace period to make better life choices,
build the foundation,
you'll hopefully feel full when that comes back. But if you're not eating and you're eating once a day, when that noise comes back, you're probably going to be like, fuck it, I'm eating all goddamn day.
You can't sustain that. Yeah.
No.
It's like building the foundation,
honestly, it was
right?
Like,
Yeah.
It's fully a honeymoon period. It's really what it is. Being on the medication was like being on a really nice honeymoon of like, this is great. Like, I have so much control around food. I've never experienced this before without any of the actual day-to-day work. What it looks like when you're off the honeymoon. What does that look like? What does it look like when, you know, the hunger is there, your little sweet tooth is kicking in, and you're not... one thing I just found so great about the bariatric program was just even understanding, we just talked about consistency with meals. That is so integral. I've even noticed with myself, the days that I am ravenous and not in control of myself are the days that I did not prioritize consistent eating. So I skipped my breakfast, I skipped a snack, I skipped, or I had a really, really late lunch, and then by dinner time...
It's getting hot here. Is somebody looking at me right now?
Yeah.
The day that I had a blood sugar attack, and the day that I had a blood sugar attack, I had not eaten for most of the day. And I had the nerve to tell Steph, I don't fucking know where this came from. Oh my God.
And what's the first thing first reply? Because you didn't eat anything.
Yeah, it was the first thing
you're
my doctor said.
Because you're not consistently fueling your body.
I don't think you're
and
eating
enough.
And we've
learned. Yeah, and we've learned how important that is, right? And that's it's like you said, Anne, it's the same, the GLP-1 and the surgery. There's so many overlaps. But it's about building the consistent habits and the consistent foundations before you get into the program. And I'm people talking about, well, like, you had 11 months before your surgery. Like, what the heck? Like, what did you do? Why? Da, 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 da. And I was like, yeah, because it's the pre-work that you have to put in place so that when you get to the point of starting that medication or that surgery or whatever it is, that you already have those habits in place. You've already built that foundation. So you don't have to worry about that. You've already got that in place. Mm-hmm. Now you can focus on the other stuff. And that's just it, right? If you're going on the GLP-1s, but you're still eating like shit, you still don't understand about healthy eating, or like we're saying, you just stop eating, you're missing such an integral component of what you need to be successful. And then that's just it. Then you stop it. And all of a sudden you're like, holy shit, I'm hungry all the time.
Oh,
but you've never worked
it.
On, yeah, but you've I never think, worked on the food noise and why that's there.
Yes.
According, and like, I'm sure Cass can tell us if we're right or wrong, it comes back even without stopping.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. I think there's a demographic of people too that will hear this and think, oh my gosh, I can eat whatever I want and I'll still lose weight because I won't be as hungry.
Right.
You're woefully missing the point here, which is that
you're still putting shit in your body.
Yes. You're not fueling your body properly. You're not doing it consistently enough.
And it catches up with you. Okay.
And
like
I think that's a good.
I can smoke because I haven't gotten lung cancer yet. So like no one in my family did. I'll be fine. Shit catches up with you. And I will be honest. And okay. I did not want to have this conversation. It catches up with you.
Vulnerable.
I've not got the best eating habits this year just due to not feeling the best. And okay, so after pneumonia, I got to kind of have a free pass to eat whatever I wanted because everything was so low. I had gone 2 weeks with nothing because I couldn't. My body was just shutting down. So they were like, you want to have a donut? You want to have some chips? Like, can you have some high fat? Because like at that point they were like, please just get her something high calorie, because they would give me the food trays and I'd go, I can't eat all this. I'm a bariatric patient with like super restriction because I'm sick. And they were like, try some sandwich. And I was like, I can't. The bread's fucking killing me. So they would sneak me in like, do you want a cookie? Would you like some chips? And I,
you want some pudding?
And then it kind of just went downhill from there. I reintroduced sugar into my diet, which I probably shouldn't have. And I have gained some weight. So I have regain. I'm dealing with regain. But the bigger thing is I'm dealing with blood sugar issues. So it's not drastic. It's not dire. But I've been having a bit of issue balancing my blood sugar, keeping it up, basically. It will drop pretty quick. I'm not hypoglycemic. It's not dropping into low numbers at all. But it will go from like a 7 straight down to a 4 in like 15, 20 minutes. You can feel that. It's very scary. So for the last 3 months, I thought, something's wrong with me, my blood pressure, I'm going to faint, I'm going to pass it, like something's off. And we've been doing all these tests and everything has come back fine. So we did a glucose monitor, and I'm not hypoglycemic, I want to preface that, but it's pretty obvious to see like stuff is definitely triggering a very high rapid drop. And it's because I've reintroduced sugar into my diet. And it's like crazy how quick my body, being on low sugar for the last 3 years, kicks the sugar out of my system. So if I have some gelato or popcorn is a trigger for me, but if I have a cookie or something really sweet, it's scary to see how quickly I rock it up and how quickly it brings me right back to like 4.55.
Wow.
And it's not a fun feeling. So with all that being said, I've gained weight because of this, because I can't figure out how to balance my blood sugar and I overate. I started overeating because I was like, I need to see it up high, you know, so it's not down low and crashing. I need it to be, and I over course corrected. I have since gained 12 and a half pounds. And for a bariatric patient, that's a lot of weight to gain. I am going to be starting Ozempic. Not for weight loss. Like, it will be for weight loss. Don't get me wrong. I need to lose those 12 pounds. Those need to go. But the doctor is putting me on it for blood sugar specifically. He said most people use it for high blood sugar. It should, in theory, regulate that stuff does not shoot out of my body so quick. His speculation is that the high sugar and other stuff I'm eating is dumping. And it's called dumping when we're this far out of surgery, which happens 1 to 2 hours after eating, which is why I'm not seeing, usually reactive hypoglycemia is within 30 minutes of eating a meal. You go straight down. And that's not me. I go up, but then eventually there comes a point 1 to 2 hours after eating where it goes back down we go. He thinks it's delayed dumping, and a GLP-1, from what he has explained, slows your digestion. So it holds the food in your stomach extra long. And it kind of suppresses insulin and slowly breaks down your food so that you feel full longer. You don't want to eat because it's not moving through your system. So his theory is if you go on this, you probably will be more stable and won't be feeling the highs and the lows as much. But then he said, you need to eat consistently 6 times a day. You need to be watching what you're eating. You need to get back into tracking what you're eating. And then he said, you need carbs. You need to start eating carbs. I don't want you to go crazy, he said, but you are not eating enough carbs. And how are you going to balance? Protein is not going to balance your sugar. Sugar can't balance itself. You need carbs to stabilize what you're eating. So I would love to know. Like, I just need to know, like, what am I getting into? I will say I'm scared, guys.
Yeah.
I'm really anxious to take this. I'm anxious because I've had such bad health anxiety this year. I'm anxious that I'll go on it and have blood, like, low.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. Let's start 2026 with a hard truth. There's no perfect time to build the future you secretly dream of, and there's no time to waste. With support from a Talkspace therapist, you can make this the year you bravely go out and grab what you need from life, whether that's outer rewards or inner peace. Just go to Talkspace.com to be matched with a licensed online therapist. You can start messaging with your therapist right away and schedule live virtual sessions over video, audio, or chat. Your Talkspace therapist can help you create personalized strategies for making the changes and achieving the goals most important to you. Talkspace accepts most insurance with an average copay of $15, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80. That's SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Blood sugar the whole time. I'm anxious that I don't like injecting myself and I'll faint because I faint at the sight of blood. I get really lightheaded getting
the injections.
My
are so... So as somebody who I can talk to you about injecting yourself. So I did fertility treatments for a year and a half. And started on a pill, which I was like, oh, yes, because I was the biggest needle phobe in
the world.
Like, I'm not even kidding. I used to have multiple people hold me down for an injection, like multiple people for an injection. Blood work, I would have like the biggest panic attacks for weeks leading up to it.
I have to get it done at home. I can't go to get it done.
It was insane. And so when we started fertility treatments and then we got to the point where, first of all, I had to go for blood work like multiple times a week. And I said to them, like, I can't do this. I'm out. I can't. He's like, Steph. I was like, I can't do this. And I would be like crying and shaking. And I was the person that would sit there and be like, just wait a minute. I'm not ready. Just wait a minute. Yeah. Just wait a minute. And then when they said you have to go to injections, like I lost. I was bawling. And she's like, She's like, I know it's hard to like to deal with the fact that you've got to this point. I'm like, no, it's the needle. I don't care that I'm doing. It's the needle. Honest to God, it's so insanely small. Now I still physically couldn't do it to myself. I just couldn't physically bring my arm to my body to do it myself. I would have to have somebody else do it. But literally, it became like a joke. It was like, who wants to give Steph her injection today? Because I'd be in public sometimes, right? So like my dad did it. My sister, I remember one day we were at one of our, the German club we belonged to. And I was like, oh shit, I got to take my injection. And I said something about like, who wants to do it? And I remember my sister-in-law being like, can I do it? Can I do it? Can I? And I was like, yeah. And she like, her eyes went out. She was so excited to be able to do this. But as somebody else had to do it, but honest to God, didn't feel a thing. It became nonchalant, not a big deal. I could do it.
It's so shallow.
I've had finger pricks recently,
and I got
no finger pricks are worse. Finger pricks are way worse than easy, these.
But I've gotten used to it. I do it like
if you can do a finger prick. If you can do a finger prick and you can do a glucose monitor, you will have zero issues with this.
My pharmacist, like, I loved how she handled when she saw that I was my first time taking it. She took me to a private room, showed me recommended injection sites. So I'll say that I got more support from the pharmacist than I did while I was on the drug.
And that's what I wanted to tell you, but I wanted to wait to announce that I was going on it. My pharmacist was incredible. Like, he showed me how to prime it, what it looks like. They have a tester there and everything. And I was like, whoa, this is, so there's my other thing. This is not just like take a needle, away you go. This is fucking complicated. Like, you have to do the 2-click prime.
Twist
then you
got
to click this way. And then there was the injection site thing. And he taught me the OK trick. And he was like, you do the OK symbol. You put the circle over your belly button. And anywhere your longest finger reaches is far enough away for your injection. And I was like, fucking dope. I wouldn't have known this.
No. Below your belly button, for me, I found was best. I remember the first day Devin gave me the fertility injection. He did it above the belly button, and it was so excruciating. I bawled, and I said, I was like, I'm not doing this. I can't do this.
Pretty
There's
much
no
my
freaking
lower
way.
Stomach was my go-to, that and was, I've got yeah, a lot exactly. of surface area there.
Anything below the belly button, I would pinch the flab below the belly button and wouldn't. Yeah. Did you don't feel a thing?
Yeah.
Go below the belly button.
So I'm not. That'll be okay.
Yeah, you'll be fine. You'll be so fine.
I'm on the lowest dose. There's no thought of increasing because again, we're doing this for blood sugar reasons. Yeah. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. Like, it's not one of those let's keep increasing and see if it helps. Like, it would be one of those if it's going to help, it's going to help at 0.25. Mm-hmm. Stable, because I'm not bad. It's not like I'm, oh my God, I'm in the threes. I am consistently at like 4.55. So it's fine. But we'll just see if it kind of helps stuff. And then he was like, I know you want to lose more weight. He's like, so maybe this will help motivate you to, you know, keep going. Because I did explain to him, like, 12 pounds, I know people are going to roll their eyes. 12 pounds is a lot, and I'm feeling it, and I don't like it. And I'm not my normal self. I'm not my normal active out there, outgoing self. And I know that there's a lot of reasons for that, not just weight gain. It's, you know, having a hard recovery year and, you know, just dealing with all of that. However, he's very supportive of my doctor. He said, this might help motivate you to, you know, keep going because 12 pounds is a lot. And he, bless his heart, because he didn't say anything. I brought it up. I was like, so I've gained weight. He goes, yeah, I know. Yep. And I was like,
you're like, God damn it.
So he weighs me every time I come in. So he knows, but he didn't bring it up. He didn't mention it at all. And I said, I'm not happy about this. And I said, I don't want to come in here and have that 12 pounds be 20 or 30 or 40. And he went, no, you wouldn't let that happen. Like, you're not that type of person. And I said,
he has confidence in you.
I'm quite pissed. And he's like, see this right here? Like, this is good. This is a good reaction. And I was like, I don't want to be 12 pounds heavier. And
you're being, and that's the thing. All of us,
you're not complacent.
We were honest with ourselves, right? Like, we would dumb it down to, well, maybe I'll weigh myself next week. It'll come down. Like, it's fine. Right. You keep playing that little story.
There was that day that my scale was broken and I messaged.
Oh my gosh.
How did I get 10 pounds in a day, guys?
Tell Cass what happened.
I took a very long walk off the short pier after that day. But I couldn't figure out. I stepped on the scale and it was up 10.5 pounds. And I went, oh my God, death, you are dying. And so I got really angry about that. And I went, what the fuck is going on with this scale? So I was going to throw it out and order a new one off Amazon. So I went in to pick it up to see what it was, to order a new one. And I lifted it up. And under the scale, my motherfucking dog had shoved a bunch of shit. So there was like half chewed dog toy ear, a bunch of like all that stuff. And it had lifted.
Your scale has to be level and flat to work, guys.
was not mobile. And I was like, are you? Mm-hmm. Like, and he knew because I went, boo! And he like took off running. So I took the scale out of the bathroom. I cleaned everything out from under it. I put it on the kitchen floor, on the tile, on its own tile so that it was flat. Stood on it and was back to where I was supposed to be. And I was like, because I messaged Steph and I was like, 10 and a half pounds gone. Whoo! Like,
yeah.
Now I'm still
so
12
before you panic, guys, heavier. Check your scale. Clean
yeah.
your scale.
But yeah. I'm going to start Ozempic. The health anxiety is real. I don't use the glucose monitor anymore because I don't need it. I don't have reactive hypoglycemia. I'm not hypoglycemic. I had a few incidences that I can trace back to not eating for almost a full day and having just like bad life choices. The 12 pound gain is me. It's not moving as much as I used to, which isn't really the biggest issue. We know diet is because I'm still exercising. And I swear you don't have to run 10 kilometers a day to maintain your weight loss. So I know in my heart, it's not that because I'm not running 10K every week that I've gained weight. It's my eating habits. They have gotten a little lax. I've stopped recording what I'm eating. And I think I'm underestimating what's going in and out. And then I overate because I was worried about blood sugar. And I didn't need to be. It was just an anxiety reaction that, I need to eat way more because of my blood sugar. In fact, eating more fucked my blood sugar up because it was like, what is happening? So I'm resetting. I'm going back to meal planning and paying attention to things. I'm feeling better. We're walking because I'm going to slowly reintroduce running because running makes you hungry, makes you furiously hungry. So I was like, maybe we should pause for a bit till we get the Ozempic and the eating, and then you won't feel as bad about eating more. Because like when I run, I have to eat more. I can't sustain running 5 to 10K on my bariatric diet alone. It just isn't working. So I'm walking. We do Bo and I do 6K a day. And it's awesome. But we split it. Little Bobo. With that all being said, I'm anxious as fuck because I don't have the blood sugar monitor in. My doctor's like, you don't need it at all. And I was like, yes, I do, because I need to know what it is at every second of every day, because what if it's low? So I'm trying to learn to listen and trust my body. Yeah. I'm worried to take Ozempic that, like, what if I take it and my blood sugar drops? That is not a known issue. That is not a known complication. That is literally not what it does. It does not lower blood sugar. What it does is stabilizes it by slowing digestion. I know this. I can repeat that to myself, but there's still a voice in my head that goes, you're going to take it and your blood sugar is going to fucking drop. Yeah. So I'm trying to calm.
As bariatric people too, I feel there's a little bit of like a stigma of like being almost a failure of a bariatric patient because you get the help after the fact. But the thing is, I think none of us aim with that goal. And then this is where the fact that obesity is a lifelong thing that we're going to be fighting against that we forget. And it creeps up on us that we forget, oh, shoot, yeah, this is something. We all wish we could be that person that does not have to think about what goes in. Yeah. Like, we all just want to be, we all know that we all have a person in our life who does not have to think about what goes in. And they stay
thin. Because it's so much of it is mental, and we've talked about this before. Mm-hmm. People think that, okay, you had surgery, you lost whatever you lost, you look great, you're skinny now. Why is that not the end of the road, right?
Right.
Because so much of it is mental, and so much goes to the eating habits and the food noise, and that is the biggest part. The weight, the physical, the weight loss is such a small part of what goes into this.
Right.
And that's where people, I think, don't understand why. Yeah. Then people turn to the GLP-1 because, we lost weight, and, we feel better, and, we look good.
Yeah.
But we still need help with the mental side, the other side, the food noise side,
I gained, when I got off the GLP-1. So just so y'all know, I gallbladder attacks, started having those, didn't realize it was connected to rapid weight loss. Also, now that I think about it, that was not really the conversation I was having at the ER, was that, I've lost 20 pounds. Could that be it? They thought I was having kidney stones. I went in about 3-4 times before they figured out it was gallbladder attacks.
Yep.
Worst pain I've ever experienced in my life.
Yeah.
It's excruciating. So anybody out there who's trying to figure out what's going on, if you're having I described it as like back pain, but it's not like it doesn't feel muscular. It feels almost like nerve pain or something.
Sharp.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's sharp. So there's that, or you end up getting kind of a pain in your chest. It almost mimics, it's scary. It kind of feels like a heart attack.
Yeah.
But yeah, gallbladder attacks. And I ended up having my gallbladder out. So when I was going for that surgical process, we just decided to discontinue use. And then I gained all my weight back and some following that process. And that's because I did not have the habits in place to sustain that. Yep.
And I think you mentioned something that's important to let people know here, like rapid weight loss is not rapid weight loss is 100 pounds. Rapid weight loss is any weight in a short period of time.
Quick.
So 20 pounds quickly counts as rapid weight loss, guys. Yeah. So for those who are early in this process or journey thinking, well, I can't have a gallbladder attack. I have only lost 10 or 20 pounds. Yes, you can, because it's speed. And so I have heard when people do lose on GLP-1s and some don't, and that's some don't. It's not you as a failure. Some bodies just don't respond to it. I've heard people lose rapidly at the beginning, almost like surgery, and then taper off. But I've seen people say like 20, 30 pounds in like a month. And I'm whoa, that is.
Which is crazy.
But then I realize like they are not bariatric patients. They are people who are starting weight loss and have stopped eating like they used to eat. So. Okay, that does make sense, right? Like, it's not the drug that is shedding the weight. It's the not eating.
No.
That is in the weight loss.
It's what comes with the drug.
Yeah.
Any and I think it's like weight.
A few things can exist at the same time too, right? Like, we've seen some incredible, incredible creators show they doing the lifestyle changes, maintaining it on a GLP. Incredible. I can't share that was my experience because I didn't figure out the nutrition piece, which was huge. But then also, like, I'll just share my dad. My dad's lost about 80 pounds on Ozempic, and he's maintaining it, and he's way more fit than he used to be. He goes and does all the, what is that called? He's a CrossFitter now.
Love it. That's amazing.
Yeah, he's doing all the CrossFit stuff. So it's just, I'd actually say genetically, the weight comes from his side of the family. So he's always my dad. The biggest I remember him being as a kid was about 300 pounds. Like, he was a big guy, and he's only 5'10". He's not a tall man. So, and now he's at a healthier range where he's probably like 230, I think he's around 220.
Awesome.
So yeah, he's very active now. And again, it's just I see him too. He's on the right path with the nutrition piece.
Good.
So I wouldn't say he's completely got it figured out, but he's on the right path for being a man that's on Ozempic, and it's really working for him. And a lot of weight has come off, and he's sustaining it at this moment in time. So I think mine was not such a happy news story about it, but I think there is to say some people do well without the support, but I desperately wish I had it so I could have maintained, and maybe I wouldn't have been a bariatric patient should it have been different.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. Let's start 2026 with a hard truth. There's no perfect time to build the future you secretly dream of, and there's no time to waste. With support from a Talkspace therapist, you can make this the year you bravely go out and grab what you need from life, whether that's outer rewards or inner peace. Just go to Talkspace.com to be matched with a licensed online therapist. You can start messaging with your therapist right away and schedule live virtual sessions over video, audio, or chat. Your Talkspace therapist can help you create personalized strategies for making the changes and achieving the goals most important to you. Talkspace accepts most insurance with an average copay of $15, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80. That's SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Friend.
Yeah.
And even if you don't necessarily need it, just having it there so that you can leverage it, you can use it. The fact that, like, having it offered, having it be part of the program, having it be part of the foundation so that you can lean on it and leverage it when you need it. And if you're sustaining and you're good, awesome, amazing. But if something happens, you can go back to it. So at least I think that, like you said, at least if you would have even had it available to access would have been.
And I'd love to see it become a bigger part of the bariatric program. Like,
Just
having like an info session on, because I do feel like a failure. I do feel like, how am I not doing everything I used to do in the first year? Like, how did I let it get to this point? Like, why do I need to go on this? But then I realized, like, maybe we're custom built for it because I have the diet stuff down. I know the exercise routine. I know how to eat well, and I know how to balance my meals now. Like, I'll probably be successful with this because I have that background and that training, mm-hmm. And I know what to do with it. But like, a lot of bariatric people are on it a lot. And mm-hmm. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think it's a wonder drug, a miracle that helps uh-huh. people. Surgery can get you so far, but uh-huh. I think it's, in the nicest way, rare that we see people who've hit their absolute lowest goal weight. There are bariatric influencers who have, but I find most end up getting to a place where they're like, oh, I'm happy here. It's not the goal weight necessarily, but like, they're fine. And then they adopt GLP-1s when like food noise comes back in or other things happen. And that helps them get to that actual goal weight that they were looking for. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that because I see it. I'm trying to anyway, see it as like a safety net for myself. I guess maybe safety net's not the right word, but like, I know I'm not giving into my bad habits. Like, I know I've still adopted a really good lifestyle, but the food noise is still there. And when things get stressful, or for example, when I think I'm sick, there's this tendency to like throw that out the window because I have to focus on a medical thing and overeat because of low blood sugar, which, you know, wasn't a thing. But with this, it's almost going to be there to be like, I know that you're dealing with a chronic lifelong addiction, and I'm going to help you not have that addiction noise. So that it doesn't come back, because there will be times where you get sick, a family member gets sick, there's a death in the family, you lose your job, there's going to be life stressors that happen. And again, we're women about to hit menopause, hopefully not for many more years because we're not that fucking old, but still, we're women about to go through like a huge change in our body. And I think that's the other difference, is women are continuously changing, either giving birth to children for the first time, perimenopause or menopause. That does a huge number on your energy levels, your mental health, your physical changes in your body. So maybe it is smart to teach people in the bariatric program, especially those under the age of 40, about the options available post to help us through those times in our life.
Yeah.
Because that is another fear I have, is menopause, which will be coming, you know, hopefully for us when we're in our 50s. But I know some women that I work with and others that are going through it, and they've admitted like it's a roller coaster of not wanting to do anything and not being as active as they used to be, and their bodies kind of just doing weird things. So there's nothing wrong with taking GLP-1. I hope I never came across as being anti-GLP-1. And being snotty in the last episode was just making me very scared, because I have known for a month that I need to go on this. And there was a lot of internal, you're a failure, go fix this yourself. What is wrong with you? How did you get here? There was a lot of, and still is, a lot of struggle with me internally about needing to go on this. But I think it should be a part of the bariatric program. I'll swear.
Yeah.
I think that if this was more common, I would feel less guilty about needing to take it.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't hear about it too. We don't hear about it enough. And I fully admit that, because of the lack of support and just me not being, I think that that's what I appreciate you so much about you, Hannah, right now, is that you just want to feel educated before taking something, and education is power while you're on it. And I did not have that education. And guess what? It was a Band-Aid. It was a Band-Aid over the overall problem, and it was just hiding under the surface the whole time, you know? So if we're not addressing the roots, and you're being honest with yourself, and you're able to look internally as to what are the things I need to do, and then how does this help broach that, that is perfect. Where I did not, I stayed exactly the same.
Terrifying for you to go through the gallbladder attack and not understand that it was related
to
the
heck is going on.
Not that it would have made it less painful, but there would have been a comfort in you being able to go, oh, it's related to my injection. I'm not dying, because that is also a fear I have, is I like to be educated so that if something comes up, I logically know that it's okay. This is a side effect. You're going to go get help with it. Like, that must have been so scary for you to not know.
Oh, yeah. And then doctors being like, we think it might be a kidney issue. We don't know. And then it wasn't by, like I said, the third or fourth time I went into the ER, they figured it out. And at that point, too, I'm like, is it because I've let my weight go so bad that I'm like, these things are happening? Like, I just, like, I could not figure it out, right? So, and then it was just such a common thing, but I didn't hear people talk about it, and it wasn't explained to me at the time. So that it was a potential. I do find even when I remember actually even the bariatric program, when they talked about gallbladder attacks, they didn't describe what it feels like. They just said, oh, gallbladder attacks, next slide.
They just say possible side effect, but no idea what it is.
No.
Yeah. It's just answers, right? Just having answers to things.
They do a bad job of also explaining that just because you don't have it in your first year doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Like, they do a really bad job explaining that a lot of us develop things 2 or 3 years post-op. Like, I had to learn on my own that reactive hypoglycemia is a super prevalent common reaction at the 3-year mark after bariatric surgery.
That, like, starting to hear that a lot.
30% of us develop reactive hypoglycemia that long after bariatric surgery.
Yeah.
So that's the other thing that's like, maybe talk about options for us, because we all won't have side effects in the first year. We can develop things later in the journey.
Yeah.
So, but absolutely. I will end it because we went a bit over, but this was a great topic. And Cass, we absolutely love having you on, and we're going to have you on again. But I think we'll just end with everybody's very quick thoughts on GLP-1s, whether it's Ozempi, Mounjaro, the other ones. I can't think of their name. I just like Ozempi. It's easy
whatever
to remember.
Whatever they are.
You know, is it a thumbs up, thumbs down? Like, do you recommend it? Do you not recommend it to people listening? I think people want to know, should they do it before or after bariatric surgery? Should they do it in general? We are not medical experts, but, you know, after these two deep dive conversations, what do you guys think about GLP-1s?
I'm on the fence. I'm right on the, we have tools available. We're in a day and age. We have them. Use them and get educated on it, and also just make sure you have the right supports in place, whether that's in home or outside of the home. It should be both.
Yeah, I'm on the fence. We didn't get into it today. We talked about it a little bit before the podcast, but I have a different view. I'm somebody who did inject myself with medication for fertility treatments for years, and I have dealt with the long-term side effects of that were not disclosed, that were not known, that are not common, that nobody told me about. So I have a bit of a jaded view on this type of thing. So my view is different. I don't know. Do I think that it can really help people? Yes. Do I think that it's another tool in the tool belt? Yes. Do I know that it has done amazing things for people? Yes. Does that mean it's for me? I don't know. So I'm on the fence. I definitely, again, like I said last episode, and like Hannah said, if we came off snooty, that's not our intention. I have no judgment on anybody who does it. If it works for you, I am super pumped for you and super happy for you and proud of you for doing what you need to do to look after yourself. But I'm on the fence.
I think I'm leaning towards for it, but on the fence. If I ever come across as judgmental or snotty, just know it's my own insecurities and fears coming through. I think that it's an amazing tool. I think it should be talked about in the bariatric program. I think it should be discussed, because I do think a lot of us end up going on it at the end. I am scared to take it because I hate feeling ill. So I don't want any negative side effects. And I wanted to live a life where I wasn't on medication, but I think that's, you know, wishful thinking. I think medication is very good for a lot of people. So I think I'm leaning towards, I think it's good. Do you take it before or after? Do whatever is best for you. I don't think that one is better than the other. I don't think bariatric's the gold standard and Ozempic isn't. I think if you don't have the support in place, like Cass said, bariatric should have that support in place. So maybe do that first and then look at Ozempic. Both have side effects, both have long-term side effects, that's for sure. So do, I think, what is best for you, but I'd say do it, but make sure at a minimum, if you're not a bariatric patient, you have a therapist, a doctor, and a dietitian. And I know people will say that's so privileged and how, you know, we don't have access to that, but even if it's one session to just get a meal plan or something in place, don't leave it up to the internet, because I think there's a lot of misinformation on the internet where people are going to tell you they barely eat or they eat once a day.
Yeah.
A good friend of mine wants to start it and reached out and said, what are your thoughts on it? And I was very supportive about taking it because I know I'll be taking it. And she said, well, I work with someone and she only eats once a day and I don't want to do that. And that scares me and that terrifies me and that feels like an eating disorder. And I think there's a lot of people out there who feel that that's normal. So get a dietitian who can actually walk you through a Ozempic or GLP-1 dietitian that can walk you through what it should look like. And then please, whether that's virtual or in person, see a doctor often, maybe get some blood work done, make sure you're on vitamins and minerals. Like, do everything we do as a bariatric patient while you're on Ozempic. And I think that will help you be really successful with it. But I'll document my journey on it. By the time this episode comes out, I will have already started it. I'm hoping for a smooth process that gives me some peace and not anxiety, and maybe gets me back to feeling like my old self. So on the fence, but leaning towards, I think it's beneficial to a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Well, like always, thank you both for joining us on this episode of Bariatric Banter Podcast. We'll see everybody next week with another great episode. And let us know what you thought about our GLP-1 deep dive. And if you agree, disagree, if you're on it, if you're not on it. And thank you, Cass. We love having you here.
Thanks for coming back.
And if people want to join your community, what is the name of it? How do they get involved?
Okay, so I did start a private group. We all have struggled with, I think, the Facebook groups available to us.
We're being terrible.
And like at the end of the day, nobody on there is a doctor. I have actually had someone who reached out, and I'll give a little shout out to Rachel here. If you want, her name is Rachel. I think it's Rachel 2.0 on Instagram. I'll confirm that with you guys. You guys should follow her. She's excellent, but she has gotten a bunch of certificates and stuff, and she said she wants to participate in the group more.
Amazing.
So she's great, and she's really wonderful to talk to, and she's Canadian. We love that.
Hey,
so,
we love it.
Yeah, we love that. So the Bloom Room, I just created a space where I wanted people to find and be able to find the niches they need help with that's more organized. It's I did it on the platform Discord. So you can find everything you need from maybe you're someone who's more into strength training. Maybe that's not your jam and you like cardio. I'm trying to encourage people too. You see a flyer deal and you want people to know about it, share it there. I'm also not going to block people from sharing a coupon code because I'm sorry, I want to save money too.
Heck yes,
I don't
please.
Care who's I don't care if yes, who's getting please. A commission for it. I want to save money. So share your codes, self-promote. I'm fine with that. And then also there's just such a lack of like finding other people that are on a sober journey or finding other people that are struggling with mental health. Huh? So I find when we can connect with people that are on the same wavelength as us, whether you want to do that on Discord or you want to take it off, I don't care. I just want us to be able to connect because that's a power that we all have. So the Bloom Room, I have access to it. If anybody wants to find me online, you send me a DM. I'll make sure you get 1 year free access. Wow. Otherwise it is also available on all my links and it'll hook you up for it's $5 a month.
I love it.
But I will hook anybody up who reaches out to me directly with a 1 year free access because I want you to get a feel for if it's the right space for you.
Yeah, I love it. The Bloom Room. Head over to Cass's Instagram or TikTok to find the links. Steph and I are in there. So maybe we'll have a bariatric little side channel if you want to talk about the podcast. But let's get a GLP-1 convo going, guys, because I need support. I need to start feeling good about this choice. So thank you for joining us, Cass. We love having you here. And the Bloom Room is a wonderful community that we're really excited to get more people into. So thanks for joining us on this long episode, guys. It's like the old days. Welcome to the 60 Minute Club. We will be back next week with some more episodes. Reach out to us. Let us know what you want to hear. We love all of our listeners. Thank you for following us. And like always, thank you, Steph and Cass, for being here with me.
Thanks, ladies.
Bye.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.